The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. People in Jesus' hometown are initially pleased when he says that God will free the oppressed. Their pleasure turns to rage when he reminds them that God's prophetic message typically pushes beyond human boundaries, so that mercy and healing are extended to those regarded as outsiders. I begin reading at verse 21. Then Jesus began to say to all in the synagogue in Nazareth, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself,' and you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we heard you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children come forward for the children's sermon. Good morning. Good morning. What, it's not a good morning? It's good to see all of y'all. Are y'all old enough yet? You're old enough? All right, you think so? Are you old enough to eat by yourself? Yeah. Yeah, maybe you can't cook by yourself yet, but you can eat by yourself, right? Or feed yourself. Are you old enough to go to college? Nope, so you're not old enough yet for that. Are you old enough to dress yourself? Yeah, okay. You old enough to ride a bicycle? Yeah, some of you are. Some of you are. Are you old enough to drive a car? Huh? Not legally, anyway. Not legally. All right. Okay, if there's two people there. All right. Are you old enough to love someone? Yeah, you love your mom, your dad, your brothers, aunts, uncles, grandpas, grandmas, friends, maybe. Uh-huh. Let's see. And here's the question then. Are you old enough to serve God? Yeah, okay. There's a story, it was from our first reading today, our first Old Testament lesson, about a boy whose name was Jeremiah. God called Jeremiah to go to be something special for God, to be a prophet for God. And Jeremiah said, "Wait a minute, I'm not old enough yet. I'm still a boy. I'm not ready for this. I'm not old enough." But God says, "Yes, you are. I have special work for you. And I will be with you all the time, and I will tell you what to say." But it was still scary for Jeremiah because he knew that he would probably have to go to people who didn't want to hear about God. They didn't want to hear the word of God, and they might become angry at Jeremiah. And so he was afraid. He was still saying, "I'm not old enough. I'm too scared. I don't know what to do." But God made sure that Jeremiah had the right words to say and that God would take care of Jeremiah. And so Jeremiah went to serve God. You know, sometimes we think we may not be old enough to serve God or to do other things for people or to love other people, but we are. God has given each one of us a special gift so that we can love him and serve him always. Okay, let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you call us into your service, even though we may not feel qualified, even though we may not feel old enough. But please be with us to help us to do the things that you want us to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to sit down. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The things of ordinary everyday life sometimes seem to be so routine. Not very exciting at all. We see the same people day in and day out. We go to the same place to work and see the same folks. We come home to the same place. May go to the different stores, same place. It just gets to be routine, not very exciting at all. So every once in a while, we may decide to take a trip. Maybe you enjoy going down to the coast, or maybe you might enjoy taking a trip up to the mountains and see the wonderful views of that. But you know what? If you would move there to one of those favorite places of yours that you like to escape to get away, if you move there, the same thing would happen. You would see the same old thing each and every day. You would go to the same places each and every day. You would see the same people, and it would become routine. No longer exciting. No longer have that same enthusiasm that you had when you went there. Think about what it would be like to meet Jesus for the first time, to hear what he had to say, to feel that power that just seems to radiate from him, and to know that you were in the presence of God. Think how exciting, how enthused you would be, maybe even a little bit intimidated by seeing Jesus for the first time. We have met Jesus. We've met Jesus in our baptism. We've met Jesus in Sunday school, at homes, or maybe in special events, or maybe special ways that God has touched us. We know who Jesus is. But sometimes I think it gets to be routine. I mean, we come to church every week, and we've heard these stories a number of times. Maybe you heard them in Sunday school, or certainly every 3 years we read the same lessons in church. You've heard these stories many times of Jesus walking on water or feeding the 5,000, or even the story that we heard today. And it gets to be somewhat routine. We hear that. Or we come to worship and we say the creed, but we don't really think about it. We're speaking it, but we don't really think about it. Or even saying the Lord's Prayer as we go through the words of the Lord's Prayer, those powerful words that we hear in the Lord's Prayer. But yet we don't always listen to those. We simply just go through the motions, and our faith becomes routine. I think maybe that's what was happening with Jesus or with the people of his hometown in Nazareth as he came back. Jesus was just starting his ministry. He had gone to several other places in the area and had started doing some healing and teaching and some preaching in their synagogues. And the people of Nazareth were excited to have Jesus back in their hometown. After all, this is where Jesus grew up. We knew who he is. And as he started to speak there in the synagogue, as he read through the scriptures and he started to expound on those a little bit, they were amazed. They were amazed at the knowledge that he had and the new things that he was saying. And they were proud of their boy. I mean, he was theirs. They helped raise him. He grew up in that town. And maybe they even did business with him in his young adult years as a carpenter. They knew who this guy was. But then they started to think, isn't this Jesus that grew up here? The people of Israel had been fed for centuries on the promises that God would send back a Messiah. Rumors had filtered back from some of the other regions and towns where people had seen who Jesus was or what he could do. And the rumors were starting that Jesus could be that Messiah. And as Jesus came into their hometown, people looked at him. But they didn't see him in a new way. They still saw him as that little boy or as the carpenter that they did business with. They didn't see him necessarily as him who could be the Messiah. And so they started to question that. Where did Jesus learn these things? How did he get so much knowledge? And then Jesus said, "A prophet is not accepted in his own hometown." And it came to be true. Actually, that was a prophecy that came true. Because they did not accept him. Jesus went on to talk about how Elijah and Elisha ministered to people who were considered outsiders, who were considered foreigners. And the people in Nazareth didn't like that. If there was going to be a Messiah that came from God, the Messiah was supposed to come back to Israel. And it was for them. It wasn't for outsiders. Where does Jesus get this? And it made them so angry that they were ready to haul him out of town and throw him over a cliff. The people in Nazareth were blinded. They could not see who Jesus truly was. What they still saw was that little boy. Or they saw that carpenter, that man who ran a business in town. They couldn't see Jesus for who he is. So they couldn't see that enthusiasm. They couldn't feel that excitement that this new Messiah had to offer and to bring to them. As I mentioned, sometimes our faith starts to lose that enthusiasm. And I think that is a big issue here in the United States. It's not so much that people don't believe in God. It's just that they've ignored it. They've lost it somewhere along the way. Maybe they grew up with it. Maybe they grew up going to church and Sunday school. But it got to be too routine and they didn't see the point of it anymore. And so they no longer do anything about their faith. And they become apathetic. Apathetic, I think, is one of the hardest things to overcome. And so then, how do we keep from becoming apathetic in our own faith? What do we do to remember that newness of meeting Christ for the first time, or that newness of understanding those terms and those concepts of grace and of peace and of love and of mercy and forgiveness? How do we feel those things? How do we feel that enthusiasm that goes along with that? You know, can you remember back to the time, maybe that first day of school? That first day of school that you were sent off to school, or your mom or your dad took you there, and you had maybe new clothes on, new shoes. You were excited. And you had all the new pencil, maybe new paper, scissors, crayons, glue, and you were excited. You were going to school. And that first day was exciting, and it was long, though, because of all the new things that were going on. But how soon did that newness wear off? Going to school each and every day. Or maybe learning to ride a bicycle. Being able to stand up on those two wheels for the first time and to learn to fly like the wind. But then that bicycle got old too. So how do we keep our faith fresh? How do we keep that enthusiasm within our faith so that it still seems new, so it seems alive within our hearts? There are several things that we can do. One is to continue reading Scripture. I know we've heard these stories many times in Scriptures, but what's always amazing to me when I read through Scripture is there always seems to be something new. There seems to be something new, something I hadn't seen before in that story, or a new thought, a new way of looking at that story. Maybe it's simply because of where I am in that particular time, in that particular place, or what's troubling me, or what's got me excited, or you know, what's going on in my life at that time may have something to do with how I read that. But I think it's more the Holy Spirit. As you read through Scripture, that Holy Spirit is letting you see something new, some new knowledge, something else. So continue to read that Scripture. Stop and think about it as well then too. Meditate on it. Pray about it. Or discuss it with somebody else. That's always good too, because they have different aspects, different way of looking at it too. Something else that we can do to keep our faith fresh and full of enthusiasm is to actually put our faith to use, to do something. When we minister to other people, we're making it new for them. If there's somebody hurting and they don't know how to find help or where to find help, or if help is even coming and you help them, they are grateful. They're amazed. And if you do that out of love, if you do that out of your faith, it is something new. There's a new connection in there. And because there is, it brings new to you too. It brings that enthusiasm to yourself as well and keeps your faith alive. Or as you speak about these stories of Jesus, as you speak of how Jesus has touched you in your own life as well then too. It brings that back up again. It brings it new. What does your faith mean to you as you stop and think about that and as you speak about it? It brings it up new. Why do I believe in Jesus Christ? Why do I believe in God? Why do I have faith? Why do I do the things that God calls me to do? As you think about those things and as you share those things, it makes you think, I am doing what God calls me to do. I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And that's exciting. You know, these concepts of faith and love and hope and charity and forgiveness and mercy, all those things that we speak of in religious terms, they're actually within each of us. And they are there, ready for us to use. God called Jeremiah at a very young age. He didn't seem ready to go out and be a prophet. God calls us in all ages to go out and proclaim that good news, to live our faith, and to be alive in Him. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.